We all could use some encouragement, and we'll find it together today in the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton and his message on the rapture. This is part two. We began yesterday, but you don't need that particularly to dive into what you're going to get out of today's teaching with Dr. Wilton. Stay with us. If you want to hear yesterday, you can find it on our website, teonline.org. But this message stands alone as we head to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and Revelation chapter 1 about the rapture. There's an awful lot of discussion about it, but as we open God's Word with Dr. Don Wilton, we gain insight from Scripture itself. As we study the Word, know that we're available as well to pray with you and for you at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And we're also connecting on our website, teonline.org. Come see us today, teonline.org. And now, Dr. Don Wilton.
Folks, I want to say several things to you today. There's so much I want to say. I want you to turn now over to the book of Revelation. It's the last book in the Bible, Revelation. And I want you to turn with me to chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. Now let's just understand something here this morning. There are many passages in Corinthians, in Matthew, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in Revelation chapter 1 through 3, which deals with the letters to the seven churches in Asia, which is the church age. There are announcements after announcements, warning after warning about the rapture of the church. In Revelation chapter 4, we actually read about the time that the rapture occurs. Revelation chapter 4 begins the rapture of the church, and the rapture of the church signals the beginning of the seven-year tribulation period. Well, let's just read about it here. Revelation chapter 4. After this, I looked. Now, after what? What is the writer saying here? What is John saying? After what? Well, after the church age. That's the age in which we live. After all these things that have happened since Jesus ascended into heaven to be with God forever. After these things, you see, chapters 1 through 3 in the book of Revelation deal with the letters to the seven churches. And the seven churches are you and me. This is the day of grace. This is the time that we live in when every person has an opportunity. Folks, I'm going to say something. I want you to listen. I will guarantee you that there is at least one person here today, maybe a young teenage man, maybe a young lady, maybe a boy, girl, maybe a grandparent. I'll guarantee you, God forbid, but I'll guarantee you there's at least one person here today who's not paying attention. I'll guarantee you today that there's at least someone here today who is scoffing at even the thought of this. I'll guarantee you that there is someone here today who is saying, listen, man, I don't need all this, man. I don't want to listen to all this stuff. Man, I've got too many other things to do. I've got a beautiful girlfriend, man. I don't need to worry. I'm building a home. I'm raising a family. I'm trying to get my bank balance straight. I don't need this. I don't need to hear about this. You see, we're living in the day of grace. Folks, it's as simple as saying to you right now, would you give your heart to Jesus? Would you do it right now? Would you settle that issue? Because you cannot afford not to. And so it is that John, writing in chapter 4 of the book of the Revelation. Let me show you something here. Watch me. All right? They had a heart attack. Thought I was going to jump off there. All right? This is what happens in the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is pointing from point A to my brother Jim over there, who directs our orchestra. And from me to Jim over there is the revelation of God. And what revelation is all about, it is the systematic unfolding or the revelation of everything that God has for us. It's slowly opening the pages of God's book and telling us who we are and where we're going and how we're going to get there and the reason why we're going to get there. That is the revelation of God. And the overriding message of the book of Revelation is that Jesus Christ was, He is, and He always will be totally victorious. We know the end, Brother Jim, from the beginning. We know what happens at the end because God's Word tells us. Well, here in Revelation chapter 4, we have the announcement about the rapture. After this, I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me, like what? What does that say there? Excuse me? Like a trumpet. Have you heard that before? The voice speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here. Now, wait a minute now, folks. What is the second coming? That's Jesus coming down here. Here the trumpet sounds in line with what Paul taught the church at Thessalonica. And John is told to come up here. And I will show you what must take place after these things. In other words, what is about to happen is just the beginning of what is about to happen. Now you say to me, wait a minute, Pastor. Here in chapter 4, we begin the tribulation period. There's going to be a time of unmitigated disaster and pain and torment upon the people who are literally left behind. What about us? Well, look back at Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10. Just look back there at verse 10. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come upon the whole world to test those who live upon the earth. God's word is absolute. It is absolutely precious and absolutely assuring. We can have absolute confidence in the word of God. Why? Because God's word says, if you love Him and you believe in Him and you've received Him into your heart, you are going to be raptured. You're going to be snatched away. So what does He say there in verse 2? At once, and that word at once is the rapture of the church. At once, immediately, I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And so we go on into the rest of the description of the throne room and what happens in the book of Revelation. And it begins, not unsurprisingly, in verse 8, by the angel standing around the throne room saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is yet to come. Boy, isn't that something? Isn't that amazing? Well, let's have a look at it. I'm going to answer four questions. Number one, what is the rapture? Number two, when will it occur? Number three, why do I believe this? And number four, how does it affect me? Well, number one, what is it? Well, the word rapture is not actually in the Bible, the word. It's a Latin word, which literally means to be snatched up or to be caught away. We read about it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. And here, this main passage dealing with the rapture separates these issues for us. The dead in Christ, those who have fallen asleep in Him. The day of the Lord, as opposed to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm also going to say to you folks, if we had time today or for the next 5 or 6 years, we might also note many biblical examples of the rapture right throughout Scripture in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 24. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God. He was translated. He was snatched up. He was no more. In 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 18, Elijah was snatched or taken away out of the presence of Elisha, and only the mantle of his blessing was left behind. What about in John chapter 14, Jesus said, I am going to come back again. In 1 Corinthians 15, now let's turn over there. We've got to read this one. All turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51. I want to read just two verses for you here. Very important. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51. Paul says, listen, I tell you a mystery. Now, why did he call this a mystery? I think he called it a mystery, folks, because these things are not easy to understand. That's why I called it a mystery. It's something that goes beyond our human comprehension. It's something that we really struggle with. He says, listen, I tell you a mystery. we will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. How? In a flash, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last what? Trumpet. Here it is again. The trumpet will sound at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will all be changed. We will all be translated and changed in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. The rapture. It means to be snatched away, taken out of this world. The Bible says that if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you are going to be a participant in the rapture. Number two, when will the rapture occur? Well, folks, I'm going to say, first of all, not everyone agrees on this, and that's fine. I don't fall out of fellowship with people over these things. But secondly, I'm going to say to you, no one knows. Now, there's nothing wrong with going back and looking through all scriptures. In fact, I want you to turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. Let's turn over there for one example. Matthew, chapter 24. Let's all turn there, because I'm going to read quite a long passage here. Matthew, chapter 24. This is dealing with when the rapture is going to happen. Verse 30. Let me also say to you, folks, there is a very close correlation between the second coming of Jesus and the rapture of the church. And some of these passages, they run a very fine line. There are many people who believe that this passage refers exclusively only to the second coming. There are other people who believe that it refers to both. And there are others who believe that it refers exclusively to the rapture of the church. I want you to listen to it for yourself. That's why we are believers together. Listen, verse 30. At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. Now, folks, why will all the nations of the earth mourn? Simply because they will have been left behind. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky. Do you remember that in 1 Thessalonians? We will meet him where? In the clouds. Where? In the sky. Coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. Now look at verse 31. And he will send his angels with what? With a loud trumpet call. And they will gather his elect. Who are the elect? Believers. Those who have been saved from their sin. Where are these believers? From the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the others. Go down to verse 36. Now this is a tough passage here in verse 36. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Bible says people will be given in marrying and giving in marriage up to the day, in this instance, Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. This is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in a field. One will be taken and the other one left behind. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken, the other one left behind. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day the Lord will come. Look at verse 44. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect Him to come. No one knows.
You're listening to Dr. Don Wilton. And you know, when he talks about that, the idea that we must be ready because the Lord will come when we do not expect Him to come, we don't fear His coming. It's what the Bible calls our blessed hope. If you don't see it like that, if perhaps there is a spirit of fear involved in your life and the idea that the world could come to the end, the rapture could take place in the next few moments, then would you let us talk with you and pray with you? Our phone number is 866-899-WORD, and we're confident that as we walk you through the scriptures, you'll see how you can be sure that you belong to Jesus Christ and you are saved by His grace. Let's talk about it. Again, the phone number is 866-899-WORD. Jot it down, store it in your cell, 866 800-899-9673. We'll connect with you anytime, 24 hours a day, or meet with us online as well at tewonline.org. I know sometimes it's better to use the keyboard. If that's the case, we'll meet you on our website, tewonline.org. While you're there, be sure to connect with us, our social media, and be sure to sign up for the Daily Encouraging Word with Dr. Don Wilton. It's a daily email that comes out about 6 o'clock Eastern, a wonderful bit of God's Word, application for how we can use that in our lives to understand and draw closer to God, to worship Him more, and to serve Him better. But again, it's available absolutely free. Sign up today online at tewonline.org. Now back to this great teaching on the rapture from Dr. Don Wilton.
But the Bible is filled with the signs of the times. Third question, why do I believe this? Why do I believe in the rapture? Well, basically because the Bible says so, that's why. But folks, more specifically, and I've read some of these passages to you, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10, that we, those who are believers, are going to be kept from that hour of testing and trial and tribulation. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 29, we didn't read it a minute ago, that we will be kept from the hour of distress. Revelation chapters 1 through 3. Now I want you to turn there. Go back to Revelation. Let me give you an example. This is too important to run through. Let's look at Revelation chapter 3 and verse 22. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 22. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 22. Here it is. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Here in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 22, we find a remarkable statement. God is speaking to the seven churches in Asia. And these seven churches represent you and me. Now look what happens in verse 22. He says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to who? What does that say? What the Spirit says to the churches. Now in chapter 4 and verse 1, what happens? The rapture. Remember? The rapture takes place. Who is snatched out of this world? The church, believers. Well, let's see what happens. Let's go to chapter 13. Let's get into the middle of the tribulation period. Go to chapter 13 and verse 9. I want to show you something very important here. Look at chapter 13 and verse 9. Something all of a sudden is missing. He who has an ear, let him hear. You want to go through that again? Did some of you miss it? All right, in the middle of the church age, before the rapture of the church, before the church has been taken out of this world, before believers have gone, what does it say? He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Well, in the middle of the tribulation, after the rapture, chapter 13 and verse 9, he who has an ear, let him hear. Why not to the churches? Because the churches are not there. The church is not there. Believers are not there. It's an irrelevant statement. It's redundant to redress that to those who are already with the Lord Jesus Christ. So why do I believe this? Revelation 3:10 and Matthew 24:29, Revelation chapter 1 through 3, the letters to the seven churches, the comparison with the tribulation period. I'm also going to say to you that if no rapture was to happen according to Scripture, all other things would have to happen before His coming. Why? You see, nowhere in the Bible does the Bible say, I want you to keep your eyes open for the battle of Armageddon. When that happens, Jesus is going to come again. Bible doesn't say that. Bible doesn't say, hold on everyone, I want you to look out for the Antichrist. When he appears, that's your sign, Jesus coming again. Or I want you to look for the false prophet. When the false prophet comes, that's your sign. I want you to know when the marriage supper of the Lamb is announced, that's your sign. The Bible says time after time after time that the sign for you and me is to look to Him, Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our lives. We've got to look to Jesus. But then, I want to say to you that there are other passages. Look with me at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We didn't read this one. And I'm going to read to you just verse 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10. And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from His coming wrath. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus, the one who rescues us, snatches us away, delivers us from His coming wrath. Why do I believe these things, folks? Well, we could go back into Scripture and look at types or pictures in the Bible of the rapture. I've spoken to you about Enoch. What happened to Enoch? Enoch got caught up or snatched away before the judgment. What about Lot? Remember Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah? Lot got caught up. He got snatched away before judgment fell upon Sodom and Gomorrah. What about Noah and the flood? Noah got put into the ark. He got caught up, snatched away, delivered, protected before judgment came upon the earth. Three questions we've looked at. What is the rapture? Number two, when will a rapture occur? And number three, why do I believe this? But there's a fourth question that I have to ask today. How does this affect me? Well, it affects me, folks, perhaps in two ways. Number one, it causes me to examine my own relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what a study or understanding of the rapture, it causes me to examine my own heart before God. The Bible says we must examine ourselves to find out if we're in the faith, if we're in the way. Folks, I was 23 years of age. Listen to me. I grew up under some of the most powerful, biblical, expositional preaching you and I will ever hear. It didn't make any difference to me. You might be here today with a family who loves the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not going to make any difference to you. God doesn't have a family plan for salvation. You don't go to heaven because you've got a Christian girlfriend or a Christian husband. And when I was 23 years of age, folks, I had to get on my face before God. And I had to settle the issue of my relationship with God. And having settled the issue of my relationship with God, the second thing an understanding of the rapture does for me, it compels me. I've got no alternative, folks. I cannot preach a message like this and then just go off the air and couldn't care what happens to anybody out there that we might never meet who doesn't know what to do next. I cannot come into this church today and preach this word and then just stand up here and say, look, folks, why don't we just all just go home right now? We're over time as it is, and you know, I'm sure somebody's mad that I'm over time, and you know, I'm sure some dinner's burning, and by the way, I got to leave here to go to the first presentation of the rapture. And no, listen, folks, there is nothing more important than the compulsion that we feel in our hearts and the compassion that we have because we love you in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I am compelled today to say this to you, that folks, what Jesus Christ has done for me, He'll do the same thing for you.
Please don't miss out on the truth of that victory. The victory is yours over sin and over death. It all comes not by something we do, but by something we receive. If you'd like to talk with someone, our phone number is 866-899-WORD. 24 hours a day, you'll find one of us happy to talk or listen or pray or connect you with great resources at 866-899-9673. But you know, you've heard Dr. Donnie as he's been preaching, and there's a difference between when he's preaching and he steps into the studio and shares from his heart. That's what's coming up next.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm so happy to hear that. Why don't you pray this prayer with me today? Dear God, I know that you love me very, very much. And I know that the Lord Jesus Christ came and died on a cross so that I might be forgiven of my sin. Today, I repent of my sin. I confess my sin to you, and I invite you to come into my heart and into my life by faith. In Jesus' name I pray. If you've prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to welcome you to the family of God. This is wonderful. I hope that you know how much I'm going to be praying for you and how very important this is for me. Call us so that we can talk to you and connect you in the right place so you can begin this wonderful journey. And in just a moment, I'm going to come back with a final word.
If you just gave your life to Jesus Christ, praying along with Dr. Wilton moments ago, not only do the angels celebrate, but we celebrate with you at the Encouraging Word and would love to put some free resources in your hands Dr. Don wants you to have. That's whether you gave your life to Christ for the first time moments ago or during the broadcast today or rededicated your life to Christ. These free resources are available if you call us at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. Many friends are asking how you can be a part of what God is doing through the ministry of the Encouraging Word. It's remarkable to see how He is drawing men and women and boys and girls unto Himself by us lifting up the name of Jesus. And we do that with partners that we call encouragers.
The month of July reminds us to be thankful for the freedoms that we enjoy as citizens of this great country. Romans 6:18 reminds us that the death of Jesus on the cross has set us free from sin. It reads, "You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness." We want everyone to be set free from the bondage of sin. We want to proclaim the good news of Christ to all who will listen. Will you join us in proclaiming the good news that Jesus offers us freedom from our sin? We need your support. Become an encourager today. Call us at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673 to request information on how you can help support the work of The Encouraging Word. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener supported ministry. Thank you for listening today.
Again, we'd love for you to be encouragers, but know that we are here to encourage you. And speak of encouragement, we have a closing talk coming up next from Dr. Don Wilton.
Well, here I am again. What a day this has been. You know, one of the things I want to say to you is let's stay connected. You know, we've got so many means to be able to do that. You can write to us, email us. You've got all the details right there in front of us. We're a family together. We stay connected in so many ways. And your life is very important to me. I see you there. And God shows me, and I want to be able to pray with you and connect with you and be a vital part of your relationship, your growth. Your needs are mine. I'm walking in your shoes, and I want to pray for you. Please don't stop. Call us, write us, keep praying, keep giving, keep connecting, keep rejoicing, keep celebrating, keep striving. God is on His throne. This is the Encouraging Word, and now you know why.
Our time's gone for now, but we're staying connected 24 hours a day at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And online at tewonline.org.